Good morning, guys.
Good morning, all.
You know, we just got through with St. Paddy's Day, and I found out all of a sudden about thin places. There are there's an Irish teaching about the thin places where people went to pray in Ireland, and they had the white martyrs, the red martyrs, and the green martyrs. It's worth it to go find out what I'm talking about. You got to go online and find out, but I've listed all of that this morning. And of course, St. Patrick, he came to convert Ireland. And it's just, the man was there. He was a holy man of God. So people are hoisting up all their beers to him and everything. But the fact of the matter is, he was one of the holiest men of God that ever walked the face of the earth, St. Patrick. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I worked this week. For the first time, I just want to share my joy with you. I just want to share this with you. One of my biggest desires was to, Lord, will you let me give a concert? So Howard Honat, whom most of us know in here, called me up and some things worked themselves out. And all of a sudden, a coordinator of the Hamilton House called me up and I gave a concert on St. Paddy's Day. Complete with applause. And it made me cry because the help would come out and dance with the residents. That drew a tear to my eye. I couldn't ask for more. So, I mean, I just am so grateful to the Lord. I'm not boasting. I'm grateful to the Lord, okay, that he allowed me to do that. And I'm just looking for someday where I can play the piano for somebody and bring them into praise and worship. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm going to talk to you about Exodus 24. I want to say this to you. Let's read the chapter. There is so much in this chapter. The scene is that God is about to give the actual tablets. I realize that he talked about in the 20th chapter about what the actual 10 commandments were. But he says, I'm going to have two tablets for you. And he brought it all the way forth to the 24th chapter. And you'll see it in here, what God did then. But I want to read this to you first. Then he said to Moses, this is out of the New American Standard, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, and Nadab and Abihu, who happened to be his Aaron's children, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. So he wanted to make sure that there weren't too many. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Come up to the Lord. I mean, I could stop there and talk about that for quite a while. It says that he was very particular who he wanted to be in front of him. The holiness of God is something so deep and precious, you and I can't fathom it. You can't fathom the holiness of God. But you didn't disobey the Lord. I mean, whatever the Lord's instructions were, you followed them to the letter because you could die real quick if you didn't. Now, today we have the grace that we're walking under of Jesus Christ, but still there are people who are thwarting God's callings. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. Now, that's my notes here, but I just wanted to read that to you. Then Moses recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered, watch this, with one voice and said, and this needs to be the heart cry of us today. All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. If you could get up every morning and say that to God, all the words that you have said in your word, I will do. And make a covenant with the Lord. Make a commitment to follow the Lord on that day. Just do that. See what he does. And the intensity, I guarantee you, the intensity of the Holy Spirit will be with you in a richer way, such as you've never experienced. I haven't done that. I want to do this. I want to do this so much to the point where God is speaking to my heart and saying, yes, Lord, I can honor this. And I want to tell you this, guys, the important thing, this is what I have learned as a Christian. The Lord is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And I like his rewards and I lack his favor. Because in today's society, what's going on today, there's not much peace. You listen, turn on the television, there's no peace on the TV. There's no peace over there in Ukraine. You know all about all that. But I'm telling you guys, we are in hard times, and they're going to get worse. It's harsher times. And I think what's happening is that the Lord is calling the whole world to a state of we got to hunger for him, don't you think? It's time to really hunger for the Lord. So all the words, Moses wrote down all the words of, starting verse 4, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. And then he did this. He put 12 pillars of the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you imagine? Oh, God, wait, I want to do this. Can you imagine him saying, well, I want to put it. That wasn't like took 10 minutes. I mean, he had to put 12 pillars up. Did the Lord tell him to do that? It's a good question. But he wanted to establish the nation of Israel in the 12 pillars of the tribes of Israel. Like saying, this is where we came. This is where our place is. We are here to worship our God. We are here to hear from the Lord, and we are here to be obedient. Verse 5, he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. My goodness. See, blood is a symbol of life. And anytime you use blood, it's, well, we don't do that today. We don't sprinkle blood from anything today. I mean, I've never done that. Have you? But the point is that Moses did it back in those days. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. Watch this. And they said, again, this is the second time, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And watch this, and we will be obedient. I'm telling you guys, your soul is roaring up against you with all kinds of junk you had from the previous day, the next day. We'll battle with our souls all day long. Why? Because your emotions are in your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your emotions aren't good or bad, they just are. But we deal with what's going on in our lives. And the important thing is, will you say to your soul, I will be obedient. I know what you're telling me, emotions, but I will be obedient to the word of God and obey him and watch what he does. And I highly recommend you doing one other thing. Get a notebook and write down what he says. I've got notebooks that thick from back in the 80s from when God would speak to me. Date each one. Date the day that he tells you what he tells you. And then come back and see how the Lord did that. See what he did with your life following that, whatever it is that you wrote down. Oh, I'm telling you, it'll help you in your personal relationship with Jesus. And that's all that matters anyway. Your personal relationship with the Lord. It is precious to your spirit, man, that you feed the totality of what needs to go into the spirit. But where's it got to come from? It's got to come from the word of God. And then it comes up and it cleans up the mind, right? And then it goes directly into your spirit, man. And it keeps on building up. And what does that do? It makes you stronger. And you need to be stronger. Okay. So Moses took the blood, sprinkled on the people. Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And watch this. This is probably one of the only places in the Bible where you're wondering, oh, really? They saw the God of Israel. And under his feet, there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Oh, would you have loved to have been there? To take part in that. To take a look. Here's the great God of Jehovah. Why did he allow that? I can answer that question because I've seen the reason in the earlier verse. Because they said all that. They told the Lord twice. all that you have said we will do, and we will be obedient. So that may have swung the door open to allow them to see him. Think about that. That's probably the reason why he allowed that. Otherwise, they would have all died. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there.
Where is that now?
That's verse 10.
Verse 10?
Yeah, verse 10 of 24. Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they, again, saw God. And they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. And he's telling him again, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets. See what I'm saying? They didn't quite have the stone tablets up until that point. So they said, and he says, I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua and his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders, he said, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. So the point is that God was telling him, look, going to be up here a while. So if there's a problem, take care of it. And that's pretty obvious to me. That's what he was telling him. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. Imagine standing there for 6 days waiting. 6 days. Day in, day out. Where are you, God? And here he had made him wait. And then here comes the seventh day. Makes me wonder, what did Moses think for 6 full days standing there waiting for the Lord to come to him and talk to him? Why did he have to wait? Why couldn't he just talk to him as soon as he went in the cloud? That's fascinating just to think about that. See, I'm saying that because I know what it is to go and wait on the Lord. I don't know if any of you guys have done, I've done what's called a directive retreat. And I can tell you, man, do one. If you've ever done one, get away for like 3 days. And I know Mike Casey's done it. But I want to tell you, when you go and you get away with the Lord, you're going into the Holy of Holies and you're going into his presence and expect a lot. God wants to talk to you. He wants to enrich your relationship with him. He wants to be golden. He wants you to come out at peace. He wants you to come out stronger. He wants you to come out taught. He wants you to come out in a way that you've got, oh, it's taken care of. I've given you guys several stories about how the Lord has done that with me. But it was a St. Ignatius Loyola retreat that I did when I was still living in Texas. And when I went into the retreat, that was still Catholic. And that was the only retreat center around in Lake Dallas, Texas. And I went in there and I sat down. And the priest said, just look only at the words of Jesus. That's it. Just what's written in red. See what he tells you. I spent 3 days studying the words of Jesus. I tell you, that was rich. By the time I got through, a whole lot of stuff came clear to me. I was thinking I was going to get married to a certain young lady. Not. It was wrong time, very wrong. So the important thing was, though, that I actually stopped. Take all of your emotions, all of your plans, all of what you think that you're supposed to be doing, leave them at the front door and go say, God, what's your take on this? What's your desire? What's your will for me? What's your will for this person that I'm affecting? Am I doing it right? Am I being a good husband? Am I being a good father? What you got to add to this? Good questions to ask, even in your jobs. How do I make things better in my employment? Some of you guys are still employed. But I can tell you the most beautiful thing that you can do is to go seek the Lord. Let me finish up this chapter now. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses in the midst of the cloud, and to the eyes of the Lord, eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. I stand and watch a big fire coming out. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That's the end of the chapter. I just want to tell you that the most important thing is that Moses wrote down, I don't know how he had such great clarity of remembrance, but he wrote down everything that God had said, and he did it in the Pentateuch of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. And I'm just, boy, that's a lot of words. But he had to write everything down. I mean, I guess that's what he did for 40 days. He was waiting for what God was trying to make clear to him in such a manner that everything was so rich and so powerful and so real. I mean, everything was so real to him because he said he's in direct, he can't err. I mean, he was in a place where he got to write it down, and it's got to be perfect. It's got to be the word of God the first time. And the entire nation of Israel was banking on that they were going to be taught all of these wonderful rules of the laws of what God wanted to say to them. See, he, particularly the biggest thing is the words to be obedient. After the promise, God sent them. And, you know, the verse 10, okay, come up to me on the mountain. Okay, I want to discuss with you legalism, just for a few minutes. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley, and he gave me the definition of legalism. And I thought, gee, I ought to share that with the guys on Saturday morning. So I want to share this with you. Every word that you're about to hear, I have to just stop on every word, because every word of this is worth thinking about. Legalism, the pressure of personal preferences that we impose upon the people as moral mandates from God. Think about that. So the question is, it's essential to distinguish between legalism and liberty. So how do you do it? Well, you learn to listen to God. So once you learn to listen to God, you get out of this. Legalism can lead to a very loving relationship and a very unloving delivery of what you're trying to say to the person. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, that's all I want to say about legalism. The most important thing that we can do is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let him know how much we love him. And wait for that next divine appointment. Why? Because the most important thing you can do in your life is to be obedient. Be obedient to the word of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In due time, he will exalt you. And he will lift you up. But the important thing is that we need to just expect more from God if indeed we're willing to give him the time in each day. I got the same problem you guys do. I don't give the Lord enough time in my day. It might be 15 minutes. It might be an hour. And yeah, I have to confess this. Sometimes I fall asleep when he's talking to me because my soul, my spirit gets to such a state of peace after reading a few words. I mean, am I that tired when I sit down? Apparently I am. You guys push yourselves as hard as I do sometimes. Yeah, and I'm retired. But I'm just telling you, the most important, beautiful thing you do is to deepen your life, deepen your relationship, and be obedient to the Lord. Okay? So I want you to understand that that's where my heart is to share with you what it means to be obedient, what it means to, and you got angels waiting on you. You know, the Lord, he sends angels out to help you too. I mean, there are times I'll say, man, I made it through that. How did I do that? So I'm going to just bring this to a close because I just want you to understand. I don't want to say a lot of things that are not important. I just want to get directly to the point, tell you what God has me to tell you, and then let's pray, okay? Father, we ask you to touch these men. Fill them up with the teaching and the leading and the precious words from Exodus 24 and the things that you have said, because we are hearing in here the words that are directly related to our lives, that it is all that you have said we will do, and we shall be obedient. Lord, we need teach us to speak to our souls, and to speak to our souls and our spirits to say, be obedient unto what you are reading. be obedient unto the fullness of what God has prepared for you and blessed you with, and yet the intensity of the fullness of your spirit, man, in such a manner that we can't miss it. We got to go. We got to do what God tells us to do and look and see what is the result? What is the happening of what it is after being obedient? And for those of us who disobey, you're going to see what it is that you missed. And I've had that same problem. But I know what it is to be obedient and to see God and to be thrilled with the outcome and watch what you can do. So I lift all this up to these men and I ask you, Lord, to help them in these three questions. And I laid them out and they're on the website. When in your life has it been necessary to stop and take stock of your life? Go and retreat somewhere. You know, where? What are the results? And then there's the other two questions. So I'm thanking, and I'm glad to be a part of you guys. I've been here, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years I've been a part of you. And I just want you to understand it's a pleasure to be with Faith Walkers. Amen? Thank you.